So open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. I'll start at verse 14. I want to share a message on the practice of accountability. And actually, as Jesus is teaching here in Matthew 25, he's giving some instructions or some parables as to how the church should live in the last days. And being that we are closing in more and more to the end of the age of grace, the time of the Gentiles, or the harvest of souls out of the Gentiles, it's very important that we abide by these things that he had showed us here. I'm going to focus on one in particular, and that's the issue of accountability. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heavens, as a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Every man to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 more talents. Likewise, he that received 2 gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went, he dug in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckons with them. So that he that had received 5 talents brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. But he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you art a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, and gathering where you've not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, thou that you have is thine. And the Lord answered, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap not where I sow not, and gather where I have not strowed. You ought to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at thy coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. So every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. And from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And cast out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we have this parable where there were talents, which was a measurement of wealth, given to these servants. And what was expected was for them to bring increase, for them to use what was given them and bring increase, or we could say fruitfulness. And God our Father has given certain things to us to put in our stewardship, and his expectation is that we would be fruitful for the glory of God, that we would be good stewards of what he gave us in the purpose he's given us and produce fruit. He requires that of us. And he's saying here that it's important we have that understanding that is an expectation God has. And in being a good steward, you bring increase. You're not just trying to hang on to something. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just being a good steward, and they're really just trying to hang on to something. God's expecting increase. And in our life, there's different anointings, talent, grace. It may be wealth. It could be whatever he's blessed us with. we need to always be looking for more fruit. And the idea here that comes out is that we will be accountable to him when he returns. He will hold us to account. And Romans 14 says that all would give account of themselves to God, that all will stand before the judgment seat of God. In other words, at the end of time, we'll all have to answer for what we've done with our life. Now, concerning sin in our life, our sin's already been judged on the body of Jesus Christ. We've already been made righteous. But we will be judged relative to reward or what crown we would have or the glory that we would bring to God through eternity. That which we've done in terms of bringing forth fruit, we would be giving a crown relative to that fruitfulness. But the idea here is that we will be held to account, that accountability is important. Now, in the day and age that we're living in, more than ever, no one wants to be accountable for anything. And it's kind of sad because if we don't take responsibility for ourselves, our own life, well, you're not going to be fruitful. And not taking responsibility, you will avoid any accountability. Now, as I say this, I can't help but think of our current president who takes no responsibility for anything and just says everything's Putin's fault, always blaming someone else. When we practice accountability, we say, Lord, you know, judge me relative to what I'm doing. Help me to judge myself, that I can make corrections or adjustments here, that I can work to bring forth fruit. But the person who operates in no accountability, they're always blaming someone else and always failing to take responsibility. Brother Ed Cole would always say that the criteria of manhood is the acceptance of responsibility. And with that comes being willing to be accountable or to be judged for that. Now, this type of problem really begins in childhood with what I'll call bad parenting. Bad parenting is to not make your children be accountable for what they say and do. In other words, there is a consequence for every action, whether it be a reward or punishment. And you have people, they think they're loving their children by letting them go, letting them do whatever they want to do. It's actually idolatry in the worship of children when you do that. To love them is to correct them. Hebrews 12 says, whom the Father loves, he corrects. And it's in the true love where you want what's best for them, not wanting a personal pleasure out of seeing little Johnny be happy. Or little Susie, be happy. You know, that's worshiping of children. You just want them to be happy and it makes you feel good. But when we understand we have a responsibility and we'll have to answer to the Lord for their growth and development, and we accept that responsibility, we would judge how we handle them. And children need to have requirements put upon them. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There are things that are required of us. So with children, you have to require them, hey, pay attention when your mama talks to you, or you know, pick up your toys, do this, do that. And you know, with that, we begin to teach them to be accountable. You know, when we were involved with Grace Academy, I assume you still do this today, you know, there was an accountability where the kids would have to have their parents sign off that they did their homework. Y'all still do that? There's accountability there. establishing that to the child that you will be accountable to your parents and to the teacher, and that they would acknowledge, yes, you did your homework. And as they get older, as they would get towards high school age, they had to learn to take that on themselves and not have mommy and daddy making sure they're doing it, but to learn to develop in being accountable themselves for what they need to do. You can't just keep doing that for them where they want to think they're an adult and they're still being treated like a child. If you have to make them be accountable, you're still a child. To grow towards adulthood, you take the responsibility, and you'll on your own volition be accountable for what you need to do. Yes. And that keeps you moving forward in the pathway you should walk. Now, if people are dismissive of the Lord's return, they begin to easily think, I can live the way I want to live. There's no consequence. But what we see in scriptures, there will be consequence. It's better if you judge yourself today so the Lord doesn't have to judge you later. As we would go on here, let's see. Actually, it's previous. Verses to this talks about how it's later down in chapter here. When people don't believe the Lord is returning, I'm not lost where that scripture is, but it says that they would just give themselves over, like drinking and mistreating their brethren. Like if we don't realize there's an accountability and think, well, I can just party for today, I can do what I want to do, and I can treat people however, not walk in love, I won't have to answer for it. But the reality is, as we see the Lord's return and we know we're going to have to answer to Him, it causes you to judge yourself. You know, how you treat other people, and am I living just for my own pleasure, or am I living for the purpose of God? Now, all this being said, there's the practice of accountability, and there's a principle through scripture. How do you love God you don't see if you can't love man that you do see? And it's the same with accountability. You give account where there are relationships in your life, and you learn then to give account to God who you don't see. But if we're aware of His presence in our life, and we understand we need His hand upon our life, then we're looking to continue to have His approval there and keep the hand of God upon our life. So we practice being accountable. If you're going to enter into marriage, you better learn to be willing to be accountable. Your life's not your own anymore. It's two are made one flesh. When we give our heart to the Lord, we've been bought with a price, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He has the right of ownership to our life. Therefore, we are accountable to Him. And it says, therefore, glorify God in your body, which belongs to the Lord. Yes. He has the right to that, to require an accountability. Now, when people want to do their own thing, they don't want anyone holding them accountable. No one should even ask them what they're doing. But when you have relationships with a commitment there, accountability comes with it. I don't just like not come home for dinner and not communicate with my wife you know, the accountability would be, here's what I'm doing. We share one another's schedule for the day, plan what we're doing, and work together. You don't just do your own thing. That creates the lack of practicing accountability sort of dooms a marriage, because you're going to do something that's going to be in conflict with flowing as one or unity together and purpose as a husband and wife. So just the communication, there's an accountability. Fellowship creates accountability. When we say, the Lord told me to do something, you know, what I've learned to do is, well, I live by that myself, what's the Lord spoken to me. And I expect people that are walking in truth do the same thing. If they're telling me the Lord told them to do something, I expect them to keep their word. So therefore, yeah, I would say, well, how's it going with what you said the Lord told you to do? I will not remember the shirt I had on yesterday, but I'll remember 20 years ago, you said God told me to do something. I have a mind for that. I don't know if it's part of it's being a pastor or it's because it's so high in my value system, which it is, or a combination thereof. But in fellowship, when fellowship sharing what the Lord said and done in your life. So when we fellowship what he's been saying to us, that creates an accountability. When people remove themselves from fellowship, sometimes part of the motivation is they don't want to be accountable. They don't want to talk about what God has spoken to them or his will for their life. So they just avoid that. But in fellowship, as we continue to remind one another of what the Lord's will is and what he has said, we do so, and it helps keep us moving forward unto completing the will of God for our life. So there's a great blessing in that. So there's an accountability in fellowship. There's an accountability in relationships. There's an accountability that to responsibilities. You know, like say if it's our job to do a certain thing and the boss comes and sees you didn't do it, he has every right to say, he or she has every right to say, why didn't you get this done? And if you think you don't have to answer to them and then you're scratching your head why you get fired. You see, in a workplace, you have to have an accountability for the work. Well, we are servants of the Most High God, and there's an accountability to him for what he has put into our life or blessed us with. Now, some people, because they don't practice being accountable, they get tempted or they get pulled off from what God would have. And they don't even realize they're not really in the flow of what he has for them anymore. But if we'll practice accountability on a day-to-day basis, it will keep us in the straight and narrow. It will keep us following after him. And my objectives, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's my goal. You know, people have their vision, their goal. I want to have this wealth, or I want this. No, I want to be able to, at the end of my life, stand before him and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. What's your goal? What's your vision for your life? That's mine. That's from the scripture. I think that's a healthy vision, that I'm going to serve him all the days of my life. If we don't purpose to that, you will be very likely to get pulled off, whether it's the lust of the flesh, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of this life, pride of life, as Jesus mentioned, the things that would choke out the word, or people end up offending you, and that takes you off. Offense is going to abound. It's always opportunity to be offended, because people have sinned. People are imperfect. And sometimes we're offended because our expectations wrong. But as we keep our focus on, Lord, what is your purpose, your will, and knowing we will give account of ourselves to him, and we practice that principle of accountability, we'll continue with him. Now, that being said, I want to go to Psalm 26, which speaks of integrity, and I do extensive teaching on this, but I just want to bring out from verse 1 and 2, it says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. I will not backslide if I walk in integrity and stay in faith." If you, on the flip side, if you don't walk in according to integrity, you will backslide. "Examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart, or search me out, put me to the test, and refine me as a metal in a refiner's fire." Yes. That's what those words mean. Search me out. Now, when we practice accountability, we're walking as we welcome the Holy Spirit's help in our life or his ministry to help us judge ourselves, to judge whether, you know, we're in faith, not in faith, obedience, not in obedience. We look for that. But if we're not walking accordingly, we don't want to be accountable. We don't want to be judged. The word judge is not saying, "Punish me, oh God. I'm a masochist. You know, beat me up." That's not what it's saying, but rather, "Help me to judge myself, for I have walked in my integrity." Your integrity is the principles that govern and rule your life. And you have things, every one of us have things that will order our life. For some, it's me first, my own pleasure. For somebody else, it's to please the Lord. There are many principles revealed in the Bible. I'm not going to get into all that because that would just be a whole thing in itself. But the point that I want to make here is the integrity of your life is the principles you live by. And the person of integrity welcomes that scrutiny whereby you can walk being accountable to the Lord. So if we do this on a daily basis, we'll not get pulled off. We'll not go astray. Now, to me, the great use, purpose, and blessing of communion is it has been given to us as a means by which the Holy Spirit can use to help us judge ourselves. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when it speaks about communion, he says, "For this cause many are weak and sick and have died," because they won't judge themselves. And if we don't judge ourselves, we'll be chastened or judged by the Lord, that we not fall into the condemnation or the judgment that's on the world. So we can judge ourselves, or we end up in a place then where the Lord has to judge us, which it could be his hand lifting off your life. I mean, he doesn't like break your leg, teach you a lesson. That's bad doctrine stuff. But his judgment can be on our life where he cannot bless us and bring into fruition his purposes in our life. But if we would judge ourselves, then we don't have to be judged. It's like with children, if they'll learn to understand what you're requiring of them and judge themselves, then you don't have to paddle them. But if they fail to judge themselves, their own flesh, then you have to, however you're disciplining them, and it's age appropriate and so forth. But the Bible does teach paddling, by the way, regardless of what psychology and humanism and atheism and all that other garbage teaches, that is the Bible way, because children will understand by what they felt on their butt, oh, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, they may not understand why they shouldn't do certain things, but they'll understand by that, and eventually they'll gain the understanding where they can judge themselves before they do the bad thing. And that's what we learn to do, to judge ourselves as to what he would have us do, what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost in our conscience. But we learn to judge ourselves. So in the body and blood of the Lord, Jesus, in dying for us, he fully obeyed the Father's will, even though to his mind he dreaded that, what he was about to go through. But by faith he obeyed the Father. Yes. The greatest act of faith in human history was the death of Jesus Christ, because he believed God would raise him from the dead. He believed, as he took our sin upon himself, he would be raised up righteous in Christ. He would leave our sin deposited in hell, and he'd be raised up clean, the firstborn among many, and that through him we could enter in and lay hold of the life of God and be made righteous in Jesus Christ. It was the greatest act of faith the world has ever seen. And God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. There's no greater act of love than the fact that Jesus loved us enough to be made sin with our sin, to suffer the judgment that we deserve to pay, 3 days and nights in hell. He suffered for us. He paid the price you deserved. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's no greater love than that. So when you look at that, you can say, oh my, oh my. We don't judge ourselves comparing ourselves to other people. Because what you'll always do is you'll pick somebody out. Well, I'm not as evil as that person. I'm not a thief and a murderer. So I'm okay. I'm a good guy. That's what people will do. But as we compare ourselves to Jesus, we say, Lord, there's none like you. I see no greater love. Make me to be like you. Help me to judge myself, this act of selfishness, or this over here of unbelief, doubt, fear, to judge these things. And the beginning point of your victory is in the identification with the work of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we're delivered out from these things and where we're set free. Hallelujah. And as we judge ourselves, you might realize there's sin at times. There is sin at times. You should realize it. But when you ask forgiveness, it's cleansed, gone, and we can receive the remission of sin where it is removed from us, that we don't have that condemnation. That's not who you are. We identify with him. But if we don't judge it and you just let it lay, it festers, it gets worse. Or like infection, it will get worse. You can't just let it go and think it'll go away or that it's not there. You'll wake up one day with a lot of pain because it's there, it's increased. And when it comes to sin, we want to practice judging ourselves daily. And again, a starting point, body and blood of the Lord. Judge yourself according to the principles that you would live by from the scriptures. And welcome the Holy Spirit's help in our life. You see, sometimes people, they know things in their head from the Bible, but they don't really listen to the Holy Spirit challenging them. And you can develop a hardness of heart because you don't really welcome that. But the sensitive heart's open to any correction from the Lord. And again, we don't compare ourselves to others. Well, I'm not as bad as this person, or I'm better than others because I do this, I'm good, I'm okay. This is one of the secrets to really a successful Christian walk. It's this practice of accountability. Or by the Holy Spirit's help, we judge ourselves, and then you deal with it, whatever that might be, and you know, walking in faith, walking in obedience, we walk it on out through. But this is a principle that's very important as you approach the end, lest you think you can just live the way you want to, and then time's up, and where are you? You know, we have to give account of ourselves to God. So I'll finish with 1 John 4, I think it's verse 17, 18. It says that, it speaks in that passage here about walking in love, walking with Him, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. You don't have to be afraid to stand before the Lord if you're giving account of yourself daily. You're allowing yourself to be cleansed. You're not afraid to come before Him. And by the same token, by the work of the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 10, 19 says that we have boldness to come before the throne of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have to, oh God, you don't, like being fearful to approach Him. We know Him as our loving Heavenly Father. We know that we have access to the throne by our faith in the work of the blood. We can boldly come before Him. And at the end of our life, we have full expectation to boldly stand before the Lord, knowing we're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." It's not being prideful or arrogant. It's just if you judge yourself and practice being accountable day to day, you stay true. You stay on track. You're not going to get off. You won't get pulled off. But we need to practice those things and stay strong in faith and love to serve Him all the days of our life. So we are barreling into the last days here. There's so much happening. And in these last days, there's a great work to be done, a great harvest of souls. And we want to stay on track. And this is one of the principles that will keep us on track, to continue to give account of yourself to God.